sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
One of the ways, maybe a unique way, that we might describe the Christian life is that it's about paying attention. Paying attention to the Lord and His promptings, His call to us, His desire and direction for our life, and paying attention to those around us, what their needs are, how we can love them, and paying attention to ourselves. But in our day and age, paying attention to anybody, the Lord, those around me, or myself, is increasingly difficult for most of us. And this is why. If you're listening instead of watching, I'm holding up my cell phone. The culture in which we live, in which we're constantly connected and constantly in communication, inhibits our ability to pay attention and thereby inhibits our ability to be what we're called to be, missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about today on Ignition. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we want to set your faith ablaze so that you might live the adventure that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we get into today's topic, we want you to know that, as always, we love listener feedback. So if you got questions about today's episode, or if you have ideas for future episodes, please contact us. The easiest way to do so is by email, and the address is ignition@sfcatholic.org. Again, ignition@sfcatholic.org. Again, my name is Chris Bergwald. I'm the Director of Discipleship Formation for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. I'm originally from Central Minnesota. I have been working, though, in Sioux Falls for the diocese since 2002, so a gosh darn long time. That's how long I've been
here. It's a
really
long time.
And I'm joined in studio by one of my regular co-hosts, Renee Kranz. Renee Kranz, who the heck are you?
I am the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Sioux Falls, and been here. Hey, it's going to be 5 years in May.
Really?
Yeah. I know.
Feels
I can't
longer
believe
than that.
That.
I don't mean that in a bad way. It just,
I think only 5 years. Only 5 years. Well, yeah. It does seem like longer to me too, but only 5 years. And
well, you started before COVID. So that's sort of like telescope time.
I did. Yeah. Kind of wrecks time right there. Yeah. So married, been in Sioux Falls since 2005. I am a native South Dakotan, but we were out of South Dakota for a few years in Iowa.
Came back.
Running back.
No Iowan jokes here. Well, I'll save those for Robin when she's
there. You go.
My other regular co-host, who's a native Iowan.
Yes,
we cover it here. We cover the region here. We got native South Dakotan, native Minnesotan, native Iowan.
Regular people
on those. So we're gonna talk today about an article that you and I both came across independently, but I proposed to you that we discuss on the show, and you were all about that. So this is an article written by, an online article written by Ted Gioia, who is known for, so some folks who might be connected with a certain circle of Catholic cultural and intellectual life might know the last name Gioia. Have you ever heard of Dana Gioia by chance, Renee?
No.
So Dana Gioia, back in the 2000s, so he's a poet.
Okay.
He was the director, I'm not sure if it's the title, the director of the National Endowment of the Arts, I think, under George W. Bush.
Oh, okay.
Before which he'd spent time in corporate America.
Okay.
And he, so he, Dana, so the Gioia brothers, or the brothers Gioia. We should say the brothers Gioia.
I like that.
You know, the brothers Karamazov, the brothers Osborne.
Right.
The brothers Gioia. There might be more than Ted and Dana. I don't know. But Ted is Dana's brother. And Ted, I think Ted is also a practicing Catholic.
Okay.
And he's a big guy. He's into jazz music. That's what Ted's known for. But he has a Substack. So some folks might know the Substack platform is a place where a lot of people write online. His Substack column or platform, site is called The Honest Broker. So Gioia, if you're looking for this, it's G-I-O-I-A. That's how you spell Gioia. Mm-hmm. And the article that he wrote back in mid-February, it's called The State of the Culture 2024. So you can see how like a guy who's into jazz music would want to talk about culture.
Right, yeah.
Right? That
totally
kind of makes sense. and he kind of gets into, what he really gets into, and as I alluded to it in the opener for the show, he gets into the ways in which our culture really inhibits our ability to pay attention by distracting us, even to the point of addicting us right. to things like social media, but just addicting us to screens
yes.
in all sorts of ways.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to rant about TikTok and so on, but there's, I mean, just the constant frenetic pace that social media encourages mm-hmm. because that's how those companies make money. So we'll get into some of the details, but why are we talking about this? So I alluded to the open, Robin, not too long ago, a few weeks ago, did an episode on the importance of contemplation mm-hmm. And the importance of seeing others, seeing the Lord, seeing others, but also seeing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as I said in the open for this episode, it's really hard to pay attention to anybody, including myself, when I'm constantly distracted.
Yeah.
And these powerful cultural forces of a lot of the social media apps, social media in general, but the social media apps inhibit our ability to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly distracted. And therefore, we really live life in a superficial way.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying, I want to be really clear here, you know, like, this is not, you know, an old man now, you know, past 50, railing, what? I was a little young man. Da, da, da. So I'm not saying these people are necessarily inherently evil or anything. They're trying to make money, and what they're doing is not intrinsically evil. It's not mortally sinful. But I would submit it's bad for our culture.
Yes.
And I'm not saying we should outlaw, you know, some of these. Well,
but maybe it'd be okay if they did.
Reason, for a variety of other reasons we're not going to get into. But at least on the quote-unquote users part, which I want to comment on in a minute, we should be more intentional about whether, and if we do, how we use these technologies, specifically these apps, social media outlets.
Yeah. So, okay, you're going to – I don't think I told you this beforehand. Pretty sure I did not anytime recently. So I'm not doing very good with my Lent.
Oh, you and me both, sister.
What I was trying to do is very much related to this.
Okay.
I really don't – like during the day at work, I don't use my phone much at all because, well, first of all, I'm working. But I don't – I do take it everywhere with me in the building just because sometimes I have to look at my calendar or whatever. But I don't – not really on it much. But I found myself in the last year or so when I'm at home in the evening doing an awful lot of – even when the TV's on and I'm trying to watch a show, like – pick the phone back up and kind of look at something. Oh, I'm supposed to put the phone back down. Oh, pick the phone back up. Like, I just can't not pick the phone back up. So I was trying to give that up, not give up the phone, but like not be on it all evening all the time. And I'm finding it very difficult.
Yep.
Like, I have to really, really think about it.
Yep.
And pay attention to that. And that kind of scares me a little bit. I think it should. I think it should scare us a little bit. When
what? Just like spell that out more explicitly.
Because, okay, so Ryan and I will both be, my husband, Ryan and I will be both sitting in the living room. And we're both doing that. So what does that do to relationships? What does that do to the real stuff we're supposed to be doing as humans? As you know, I love gardening. And so I do a lot of that. And I'm not going to like be on my phone instead of do that. Yep. But there are a lot of other things I might not do instead and just be on my phone.
Yep.
So I find myself when I'm doing that more, and what worries me about it is I find myself retreating from real life more because like there's something apparently interesting in my phone.
Just to devil's advocate for a minute, I'm really curious. So that's fascinating. I'm curious to know what your response is to this line of question and or thought or argument. Okay, so you've got this hobby of gardening. You love to garden. Mm-hmm. My hobby is social media. What's wrong with that?
Because that hobby isn't really a hobby.
Wow.
I mean, it's not real life. It's social media is inherently fake. Let's just be honest here. No one is putting, okay, there are a few people who put all their real life stuff on there, but there's a lot of, this is how I want people to see my life. you're not participating in life. You're kind of seeing it go by.
Okay.
Instead.
Can I devil's advocate?
Yes.
You watched, you just said sometimes I'm on my phone instead of watching a show on TV. That's fake. Unless you're watching, well, reality TV is fake too.
I'm not watching reality TV.
Right. If you're watching a scripted, it's a fictional. You're watching fake. I read fake books. They're called novels, stories. Mm-hmm. So
That's very true. But you don't usually spend, now the TV could be an exception, but you don't usually spend so much time in those things. And they're not addictive the way social media is.
Yeah. So
there are specific things about it and how it works that are addictive.
Agree. So what I would submit, I know you'll agree with me. B, we're not alone.
Right.
I think this is increasingly commonly understood.
Yeah.
I would submit that. Okay. Yeah. I used to be able to lose myself in books.
Right.
Fictional books.
Yeah.
Now, I used to be able to do that because I can't anymore because of the internet. The internet, but I want to come back to that. Okay, but so what? What's the? Okay, but there is something, and I want to go back to what I said at the opening and I've alluded to again already. It inhibits my ability to engage with something deeply.
Yeah.
Whether it be other people or a book or
music.
Or my work or music, yep. Where I, you know, I'm sure anybody who has lived in the world in the last, I'll say, 20, but probably 30 years, has recognized how if you've gotten sort of absorbed into the internet sort of link culture, mm-hmm. That's what Nicholas Carr in his book, The Shallows from the 2000s, the link culture of the internet, where you're just clicking around. Mm-hmm. Unlike a book where the book is what I'm reading, it's right here.
Right.
I'm not able to click around from story to story. This is before smartphones. This is before mm-hmm. social media. This is the link culture of the internet. I recognize in me, I've talked about this many times. I recognize in me an inability to do sustained deep reading in the same way that I used to be able to do when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, I had totally have that problem too now.
And I
would have told you 2 years ago, oh no, that'll never happen to me. And I probably already was.
Right, right.
It really bothers me.
Yep. And I would say, so I would say it should, because I would say it's bad for us.
Right.
The fact that I'm not able to do what I could do when I was much younger mm-hmm. and frankly more immature in many other ways. Mm-hmm. But in this way, I have regressed.
Right.
Because I've allowed, frankly, Nick Carr in his book, The Shallows, talked about how there's neuroplasticity. My brain has rewired itself to correspond to my habits of mm-hmm. click, 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 click. That's why it's harder for me now to do sustained deep reading of mm-hmm. even of just a novel.
Right.
I mean, a Tom Clancy novel. I'm not talking about like necessarily deep theology or philosophy.
Right, right.
It's harder for me to do that than it used to be. I would just say as humans, apart from matters of faith, that's a regression for us.
Right. Yeah.
I would say that part of what makes, I think when you think of what does it mean to excel at being human, it means the ability to pay attention.
Yeah.
So one of the classic things, I don't know if it's in this article or one of Joya's other articles that we might talk about in the future. One of those, what do you call it, an image that is like, it's a stock photo.
Yeah.
It's a stock photo. Thanks, Elise. Appreciate the help. Stock photo of a couple, a date night. They're holding hands, each with one hand. They're sitting at a restaurant. They got wine. They got holding hands.
I know where this is.
And holding a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, do you guys do this?
No.
Okay.
We try to leave our phones off the table when we go out.
Do you? Yes.
Yeah.
I have my phone on the table just in case the kids try to call because we're still younger kids.
Sure. We don't usually have that.
But you don't have that. I hope not.
No. Your kids aren't calling me.
Right. But I don't say this with any judgment. I honestly say this more with sadness and mm-hmm. sorrow. I see that all the time. I see not just couples, I see families.
Yeah.
Out to eat. And listen, I'm really, this is not a crotchety old man talking. Mm-mm. First of all, going out to eat is expensive. So
enjoy it. Make it something different.
There's an experience there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Be with the people you're with. Mm-hmm. That's just a reality. So it's inhibiting our ability to relate to other people.
Yeah.
From a faith perspective to the Lord and to ourselves.
Right.
And again, I would say that's not a good thing.
Right. Well, even so, Ryan and I, we do try to leave our phones off the table, specifically because we need to like actually talk to each other.
Right.
But one of the things that I have noticed, I also love to do crosswords. Before I came to the chancery, the job I was at, I was at reception area, and we had a newspaper there all the time. So I was able to do the crossword physically with a pen.
Yeah.
A pen, not a pencil.
Oh, commitment.
Do that every day. And it was like this physical thing. Now I do it on my phone, which is still good to do the crossword puzzle to work your mind and so on, but it's different. And I miss that physicality of writing it out.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, poking the letters.
Yep.
So I don't really, besides just like stop using your phone, I guess.
Well, no, but I've made a similar effort, not because of Lent, but honestly, it's just, I'm trying to change how I live in certain ways. And one of the things that I'm striving to do is not use my phone other than for what only the phone can do.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So I really try hard. And this is why I've kept the phone, because there are, you know, certain circumstances. I can tend towards like rigidity in terms of application of a principle. And I just recognize like sometimes I can be too rigid that way. But so I will on occasion check email on my phone.
Right.
For a legit, but by and large, I really work hard, whether I'm at home or at work, to only check email from an actual computer,
right?
Not my phone.
Right.
No, I keep the email app on my phone for there might be legitimate reasons. Mm-hmm. I try hard not to browse the internet,
right,
on my phone. So I use my phone for phone calls.
What?
Phone calls.
What are those?
messaging, texting.
Yeah.
And podcasts.
And I would imagine photos.
Photos.
You use the camera.
Camera and navigation. Those are the five primary reasons that I use, that I'm seeking to use my, limited by and large, those five things.
Yeah.
I mean, so podcast/music.
Yeah. I think for us, now I'm sure other people have realized this. Okay. Let's say 20 years ago, we did not have, Ryan and I did not have cell phones 20 years ago. Even a little later than that. And of course we didn't have smartphones, but if you didn't know something, even when we were kids, you're like, hey, I wonder what the population of New York City is. You couldn't just look it up right there. Now, I mean, I think that's half of what I do on my phone. Hey, what's this?
Yep.
Look it up on your phone. Oh, I wonder what this is. He said that. Now I'm going to look it up on my phone. It's like, that is all day.
Yep.
I can just look it up on my phone.
Yep.
I think we're actually getting dumber.
What do you mean? I know you say that with a laugh, but
we don't even have to remember. We don't have to remember anything.
Yes.
We don't have to, we do have to have a skill in finding things. Not a lot of people don't, but we have no attention span. The movie Idiocracy comes to mind many times.
No.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, you would enjoy it. It's very dumb. But it's meant to be that way.
Right.
It's in the future. But we're not helping ourselves by not living real lives. And that's really, I don't think God wants that for us.
So I want to go back. You were talking about, you brought up something and I mentioned how I'm trying to use my phone differently.
Yeah.
You talked about how the crossword, you used to do the crossword in paper and now you do it on your phone. I've experimented over my professional career, frankly, with different forms of note taking. And
you have drugged me into it a few times.
I have.
Yep.
To my different experiments. And since August, I've gone to just a small, unlined paper notebook. And I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just there's something about writing. And this corresponds to philosophical and theological anthropology, to use a highfalutin terminology for a minute. So who and what we are as human beings, we're not free-floating intellects.
Right.
We're not brains in a vat. We're enfleshed, embodied creatures. We're ensouled bodies. Mm-hmm. We're embodied souls. Mm-hmm. God intended for us, not, he didn't intend for us to be free-floating intellects out in virtual or cyber reality. Right. He intended for us to engage with it. He created everything for us. Mm-hmm. So he intends us to, and he intends for us to use and abuse his creation, but for us to appreciate and in appropriate ways enjoy his creation because he made it for us.
Yes. And be part of it.
Yeah. Right. So I do think there is something, and there is, there's data showing how note-taking, even as opposed to, because my handwriting is, I think you know, is atrocious. So for me,
I've seen worse.
note-taking by computer is frankly in some, just a pragmatic thing.
Yeah,
and so there are times when I will take notes on my computer.
Especially if you just share it with someone.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's been demonstrated that in fact taking notes by hand is better for us because it forces me there's a memory to, but there's also like a thinking thing. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in class taking notes by hand, I had to hear what the professor was saying. I had to synthesize it into something that I could just quickly write down because I couldn't take down. But now
and still be listening to
and
them.
Still be listening. Now I'm able to almost transcribe.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, don't need to think in order to transcribe.
Right.
You're just hearing what he's saying, and you're not thinking about what he or she is saying. You're just hearing it and typing it as you go.
Right.
Whereas doing it by note requires some actual processing.
Right. And so then what happens like in meetings and stuff, for instance, here at work, if you're just typing it in, you're not really maybe having as productive a meeting as you could.
Absolutely.
Because Bergwald is over there not thinking about what's going on and, you know.
Yep. And let's be honest. The other thing about thinking or about using my computer to type my notes is it's possible. I'm not saying this has ever actually happened, but it's theoretically possible that during a certain point when I'm maybe listening, just check over.
Check your email.
Check my email.
Well, now that we know.
Not that I or you have ever done. I've never received an email from you when I know
during
you
a
that
meeting?
You're in a meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, never.
No,
But
usually I do that because I'll forget if I don't do it right then.
right, exactly. I will forget. So,
but you know what? I could just make a note for myself right there.
Okay. Remind me, what does this have to do with what the ignition is about? What is
Catholic
the ignition
faith?
About? Yeah, Catholic faith and what do I say, Elise, at the beginning?
Setting
my faith ablaze. So that the adventure comes relationship with Jesus Christ. So I do want to connect this again. So in our diocese, like others, but especially in our diocese, we talk about growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ in four different ways. Mm-hmm. Spiritual formation, so my prayer life, personal prayer life, participation in the prayer life of the church and the sacraments. Mm-hmm. So, intellectual formation, just growing and understanding what the church teaches, why she teaches it, what difference it makes in my life. Apostolic formation, my ability to share my relationship with the Lord, with those around me in whatever ways are most fruitful. But human formation, just growing and maturing as an integrated human being.
Yeah.
And all of this has to do with human formation.
Yeah.
And in order for me to thrive and be fruitful as a missionary disciple, I have to attend to all four areas of formation. I have to be perfect at them. But if I want to, I have to be attentive to all of them and seek to grow. And I really think this whole thing is about human formation. Mm-hmm. And that's just, again, I wouldn't even say apart from discipleship and Jesus Christ, just as good citizens.
Yeah.
Like this is about being good people.
Yes.
In all sorts of ways. Good friends, good family members, good people. But that's all necessary for being a missionary disciple.
Yeah. It's why basically our seminarians who are in the propedeutic year, like, don't use their phones.
Yep.
They don't have smartphones.
Media fast. And some would say when you do a media fast or a media detox, there's a key thing to do. So the sorts of, to take up a hobby.
Yeah.
People don't put it this way, but I would say an incarnated hobby or a hobby in the real world.
Do real things.
Yeah, like gardening or cooking.
Yes.
Or biking or hiking. Mm-hmm. You know, do something.
Sewing, knitting. Oh my gosh, there's a million things you could
do. And it can be, I mean, it can be related to technology. Maybe it's developing a real appreciation for movies, like studying cinematography.
Right.
Or music. So Ted Gioia. Maybe it's studying jazz. Mm-hmm. A silly example for me. I know that there's something about poetry which is valuable and important, but I, generally speaking, don't get it.
Right.
I don't understand.
I can see that in you.
Poetry. Yeah, I'm very literal.
Yes.
It's the engineer in me.
Yep.
Has a hard time in a certain way, really fully, I'd say fully grasping the power of symbolic metaphorical language. Mm-hmm. But I aspire, I desire to grow in my appreciation for poetry.
Right.
Opera's another story. I don't care.
Ryan would be with you on that.
But that's something where I do know I don't get it. I just don't care that I don't get it.
And that's okay. You don't have to care about everything.
You don't have to get everything.
No.
But I can't. Again, those are all examples of hobbies. Don't just do a detox, because that's sort of like the parable that Jesus talks about where, you know, chasing away the demon, and there's an empty, your spirit, your soul is an empty house, and later the demon comes back. Oh, the house is empty. Hey, guys, come on in. Replace the time that you, or at least most of the time you spend on your devices or screens, or at least your phone, or at least social media, with something else.
Yeah.
Something that's in the real world, as you said.
Yeah.
So we haven't gotten to Ted's article yet. So maybe we'll talk about this next week.
Okay.
He also has another article that sort of piqued our fancy.
Yeah.
So I think we'll make this part one of a two-part series.
Sounds good.
Again, just to reiterate, I think it's hopefully clear by now if you've been listening to the entire episode at least. The connection here with our faith is that we're called to be contemplatives, paying attention to the Lord, to ourselves, to those around us. And our dopamine addicted culture really inhibits our ability to do that.
Yeah. So, and I would say if you don't think you're addicted, pay attention for a day or two.
Yeah, or try to pay attention.
Yes.
How's that working out?
Try to, yeah.
So we'll talk more about this next week, Renee.
Yes, sounds good.
Folks, thanks for that. We'll wrap up this episode again. Thanks for listening or watching. You can email us ignition@sfcatholic.org with any questions about today's episode or ideas for future ones. Until next time, may God bless you.